Kingdom Woman, Chapter 3, A Woman of Excellence.
Most of us prefer excellence. We may not state it openly, but our actions reveal it. For example, we want excellence in the medical care that we receive. We don't want to hear a doctor say he doesn't really know what's wrong with us, but would like to operate on us to find out what's wrong. When it comes to our physical well-being, we want a doctor who knows what he or she is doing. We want excellence. When we go to a restaurant, we don't want our food just thrown together. We want it prepared with excellence. We don't want our server smacking on gum while tossing our food just anywhere on our table. We want excellence. We certainly don't want to fly on an airplane that hasn't been excellently crafted. We don't want the captain to come on the loudspeaker before takeoff talking about how they taped portions of the wing together. That would be unnerving, and most people, if not all, would quickly disembark. When we fly, we want excellence. When we spend money to buy a car, we want excellent craftsmanship. We don't want to be driving it into the repair shop week after week as piece after piece of our new vehicle breaks. We want excellence. Even though we want excellence in the things that we receive, often we lack excellence in the things that we do. Yet a kingdom woman understands that her unique position calls her to a higher standard than what the culture has set. She knows that God has ordained her for a destiny of excellence. Being a woman of excellence simply means living your finest, giving your best. When we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, He will specifically be looking for excellence. We read about this in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. When one day you stand before God, He will not only ask what you did for Him, but will also judge how excellent it was. Did you merely give God your leftovers, or was quality attached to your life, even in the mundane tasks that pile up in a woman's life? Because your days are often filled with things that others may not see, things that have to get done that you may never hear gratitude for, or that may not be on display, it is easy to pull back on the quality of what you do. Yet God wants you to rise to a higher standard. He desires excellence in all you do, and your excellence will not be unnoticed. In the biblical story of Ruth, Ruth had what would be considered a mundane and overlooked job. She had traveled with her mother-in-law to a new land. Having been widowed, she did not have money or property. To simply get by in life, she had to carry out the task of gleaning. She had to gather the leftovers from the farmers in the field after they had reaped the harvest. Ruth probably never thought that anyone would ever judge how well she did that job, but she did it with excellence. And because she did, all of her life showed excellence. She was later rewarded as she became the wife of a man named Boaz, then the great-grandmother of King David of Israel, ultimately one of the direct ancestors of our eternal King, Jesus Christ. The following passage reveals Ruth's character. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," Boaz replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." Ruth's reputation spoke volumes about her character and destiny. She was a woman of excellence in her decisions and actions. As a result, God lifted her from a low position and situated her in a life of honor. Excellence is a spiritual issue. It differs from success because success generally has to do with how much money you make, what job you have, or how much prestige you receive. Success has to do with reaching a level that the world recognizes as successful. While success belongs to a few, excellence is available to all. Excellence is not concerned with how you compare to others. Excellence is concerned with how you compare to the potential of how you are supposed to be. In other words, excellence has to do with God's destiny for you. Are you progressively pressing forward and moving toward what he wants for you? Are you defining your decisions, thoughts, and actions by the highest quality and authenticity you have to offer? This is the measure of true excellence. God has called you, like Ruth, to be a woman of excellence. You may not think that anyone is watching you or that what you are doing carries much significance based on the culture's values. Yet in some obscure field, while collecting remnants of other people's meals, Ruth gained a reputation of excellence. God saw her, and he was pleased with what he saw. He granted her favor in the eyes of all who saw her as well. Paul tells us that all of our lives should be marked with excellence. Finally, brethren, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now, as we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Excellence should be your aim as a kingdom woman. Proverbs reminds us that the excellent woman, the excellent wife, is a rare treasure of the highest value. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. God's excellence is to serve as a model. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. Excellence is the standard for which you ought to aim, since you are a child made in his image. Keep in mind that excellence doesn't mean perfection. It means doing all you can with all you have at that moment. I'll never forget when Crystal ran the 800-meter race. I couldn't have been more proud of her. She had started out so quickly that I knew it was likely she would run out of momentum before reaching the finish line. But I admired her tenacity and her zeal, and she learned an important lesson about pacing herself as well as one on the value of finishing. The thing I was proud of the most was that when she saw the other two runners pass her by, and as her body screamed out to her to quit, she didn't. She kept going. She didn't let the reality of her past, the good, being so far in front at the beginning, or the bad, having two runners pass her, affect her present. She focused on where she was at that very moment. Paul penned one of the greatest passages in Scripture about pressing forward despite setbacks or discouragement. Paul, a leader in the Christian faith, spoke of his own faith journey when he wrote the following. Not that I have obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here is the secret to your life as a kingdom woman of excellence, a short memory coupled with a clear direction. If you are going to live in excellence, you have to forget yesterday, whether it was good, bad, or ugly. If it's yesterday, you need to let it go. When you carry yesterday further than you ought to, you ruin today. And if you ruin today, then you spoil tomorrow. If anyone should have been held hostage by yesterday, it would have been Ruth. She knew what it was like to be young and married with plenty of food and live in a culture that understood and accepted her. She also knew what it was like to lose her husband and leave her homeland with nothing to her name. But if Ruth had continually wallowed in both the good and the bad of yesterday, she wouldn't have any mind left to be excellent in her today. Ruth was a woman of excellence because she was not hostage to yesterday. She knew how to press on. You ought to learn from yesterday, but don't live in it. The way to get yesterday out of today is to do what Paul said, to have a tomorrow focus, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on. When you see something in your rearview mirror that catches your attention as you are driving, it slows you down. Your attention is now focused on what is behind you rather than what is up ahead. As a result, you lift your foot off the accelerator and slow down. Yet, when you set your focus on what is ahead of you, you're able to keep your foot steady on the accelerator and move forward. As you do, what is behind you gets smaller and smaller until it eventually fades away. You don't get rid of yesterday by talking about it all the time. You get rid of its effect on you by moving forward. God told Israel that he had a future for them, and it was a good future, flowing with milk and honey, meaning it was an abundant future. God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, but Egypt never got delivered out of the Israelites. They kept looking back over their shoulder at what they used to have. They lived a yesterday life. In fact, they discussed yesterday so long and so often that God gave them another 40 years in the wilderness so they could discuss it some more. The Israelites failed at a life of excellence because they were bound to a life of yesterday. A spirit of excellence is a spirit that presses on, grows, learns, repents, and makes the most of the day that it has been given. Another problem that often stands in the way of a life of excellence comes when we live for people more than for God. We make people our standard rather than God. We do our job for those around us. We work for our family's praise. We make our actions and choices in light of how people are going to respond to us rather than whether God is going to say that we are excellent. It's easy for us to look at only what we can see, but God sees all. He even sees the most mundane tasks that no one else might ever notice. Martin Luther supposedly said, "Even a dairy maid can milk cows to the glory of God." Paul wrote, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Dwell on excellence. Don't think of what you can do to get by. Don't allow yourself to think sloppy thoughts. Think about whether God is applauding all that you do. Think of yourself the way He views you, as a woman destined for excellence. Again, excellence is not perfection. Rather, it defines your movement. Are you moving forward? Are you progressing to be more and more like Jesus Christ? Are you investing in the moment rather than being bound by yesterday or worrying about tomorrow? Excellence means going to the next level. It shows up in little ways more than it does in big ways. It's a pattern, a lifestyle. Paul gets a bad rap sometimes from women. He doesn't mince words, and he didn't make a lot of friends with his writings about women. But one of the greatest honors he ever gave in his writings was given to a woman of excellence. In the last chapter of his hallmark book, the Book of Romans, Paul wrapped up his thoughts. As he did, he sent his greetings and well wishes for those whom he loved. He had just finished his concluding statement when he wrote, "The God of peace be with you all. Amen." His very next statement, as he began his farewell greetings, focused on a kingdom woman named Phoebe. There are only two verses on Phoebe in the Bible, but they speak volumes about her excellence. Phoebe isn't hidden somewhere down in the midst of a litany of names. Paul began by expressly highlighting this woman. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me." Phoebe's excellence, like Ruth's excellence, and like the excellence of the Proverbs 31 woman, is to be your excellence as well. It is your highest calling as a kingdom woman, because through a life of excellence, you bring glory to God. Excellent people who set their minds on God don't have to be prodded to do well. They fulfill their responsibilities willingly because they do them unto the Lord.
Crystal's Chronicles.
Not too long ago, it occurred to me as I got up to clean the kitchen for the umpteenth time that I didn't feel like it. What else I realized was how many times over the last weeks, months, and years I felt the same way about quite a few of my responsibilities as a mom. The truth is, there is very little room for selfishness in this place of servanthood. If I took the route of bemoaning my fate, things would only get worse, and then I'd have a bigger hole of self-pity to dig myself out of. If I don't do the dishes, they pile up. If I don't do the laundry, we have no clean clothes. If I don't pay the bills, we have no electricity. I can't even imagine what life would look like around here if I did only what I felt like doing. So I've discovered that this path of being a kingdom woman is not a path for sissies or for women who are not made of tough stuff. I've discovered that my best days are the ones when I rise early to get myself together before the troops converge, and when I go to bed later than everyone else to make sure that things are at a good starting place for tomorrow. Believe me, I do not prefer to wake first and sleep last. However, it seems to be the key to having a smooth day. Today, for example, I began cooking dinner shortly after finishing breakfast. Putting a chicken in the crock pot made my dinner prep all of 30 minutes at 6 p.m. Making gravy, roasting potatoes, cooking rice, and throwing together a salad was almost effortless. I also made a menu for the rest of the week, which allowed me to make my grocery list, which made it possible to get in and out of the grocery store in 30 minutes. Being semi-dressed, dressed but not glamorous, before my crew arose allowed me to be somewhat composed when my doorbell rang. These are small things in which I strive for excellence, and yet they are huge in return when I can sigh at the end of the day because I realize that I've given my all. A day like today shines in comparison to other days when I've been down, behind, hungry, discombobulated, and stressed out. Most of those times involve my indulgent self-pity about how hard things are as a woman pulled in so many directions and needed by so many people. Deciding to take my home and family on like a kingdom woman and not cowering under the weight of the tedious and mundane make the flow of my day so much easier. If I stare back in time too long, I'll find things that I wish I had done better or cringe at all of the things I opted not to do at all. Looking in the rearview mirror of yesterday, I see lots of would-haves and could-haves and should-haves. But those years are spent. They're gone. How I use that time is how I used it, and I can't go back. But I can take a step forward into a brighter tomorrow. Each day I am blessed to live gives me another day to press on and do the best I can with what I have. It gives me another day to live as a woman of excellence. No, most people will never know how many loads of laundry I do in a year, how many spills I clean up, or how many homeschool lessons I prepare and grade. But God knows. He knows my every move, and He has created me to make my every move in a spirit that is nothing less than excellence. He knows the same about you too. Often, the life of a woman, young, old, married or single, presents opportunities to perform thankless jobs in many ways. The temptation is there to pull back or just get by. But when I start to think that way, I remember my aunt and the example she has always lived in excellence. Never married, she dedicated herself solely to the Lord and has given herself to be auntie to her nieces and nephews, and now her great nieces and great nephews in so many ways. She has also dedicated herself to starting and running the children's program at our church for decades, while simultaneously getting her PhD. She is a woman of excellence. And when asked what motivates her to be that way, she will reply, because of that day. That day is her reference to the day that she expects to stand before Jesus and the day He will test the quality of her work. The truth is, we all will face that day. And if the service we have offered Him is excellent, we will hear those blessed words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Matthew 25:23. I want to hear those words. I want what I do and what I have done to make Jesus smile on that day. A life of excellence isn't easy. There aren't always accolades, especially when you choose to make important the things that are important to the Lord. But there will be one very meaningful accolade on that day. Where does the Lord prick your heart to do more, go further, or raise the bar? While my challenge is the grind of motherhood, it is not the only place where excellence in womanhood is required. On your job, are you content to keep the status quo, or do you go the extra mile in your daily responsibilities? In your appearance, are you satisfied with the way you are, or are you aiming to be healthier? Do you do the best you can with what you have to represent your Savior when you step out the door? What about your marriage? Are you settling for a comfortable coexistence with your husband, or do you put your best foot forward in an effort to have a heavenly marriage here on earth? If you desire marriage and are waiting on God to answer the desire of your heart, what are you doing with your time? Are you using your time for His glory, or are you merely marking time and wondering how much longer your biological clock will tick? While you wait on a mate, are you seizing every opportunity God brings to use your time, talents, and resources to further the kingdom? That question is not just for the single woman. It is for the retired woman, the content woman, or the woman who feels she has arrived. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Excellence on earth is not a destination. It is a continual process of transformation into who God wants us to be. The excellence He desires from us is not a level of superiority or distinction that we can achieve on our own either. Our treasure is not in our earthen vessels, but it is in the excellence of His power in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Excellent is what we will be when we are made perfect in the next life. However, in the meantime, our job is to strive for the excellence the Father has revealed to us in the season of life that we are in the context of our lives right now. And as we commit to pursue this life, the life of an excellent woman, the Father transforms us into the likeness of His Son. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Choosing excellence now is to choose the fruit of joy and pleasure in days to come. When we choose excellence, God gets the glory. When we choose excellence, we benefit from walking in the fullness of His joy on earth and investing in the pleasures of eternity in heaven. So, my friend, choose the excellent way. And do so not for the reasons that you can see, but for the things which are not seen and that are eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18.
To be excellent is to be more than just one of the crowd. It is to live in a way that sets you apart as special and unique. Just as Crystal said and Phoebe lived her life, what you do and how you do it draws the attention of others to the glory of God. Like Ruth, it positions you into the fullest manifestation of your destiny. You'll never be excellent if you make the world your standard. A kingdom woman knows her true value and shows the reflection of how God sees her. She makes God's standard her own in all that she does. Think about it in terms of one of the least thanked groups in society, the trash collectors. It is not what you would call a high-class job, however. In New York back in 1990 and again in 2006, the trash collectors went on strike. All of a sudden, these typically overlooked, unseen individuals became the most significant people in the city because the whole city realized how much it needed them. Much of what comes in the life of a kingdom woman will not make the headlines. For much of what you do, you may never receive thanks. People may only notice when you are not there and you don't do it. But that reality doesn't change your significance. You are a rare find, a precious jewel. As a kingdom woman, you have the virtue of excellence. And although you may not hear it as much as you want, and even as much as you should, those around you need you. Your family needs you. Your church needs you. Your community needs you. In fact, the world needs you. As a kingdom woman, you have been uniquely designed to fulfill a life of excellence.